Good evening. It is Friday night, November 23rd, 2018. You're still recovering from your Thanksgiving dinner? Well, we'll feast on some Canucks as the Sharks did. 4-0 the final over the Vancouver Canucks. That's right. Someone is left me in charge of doing this show against the Canucks. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post-game show on YouTube. We thank you to over 1,062 subscribers. And of course, this is all about interactivity. So be a part of the show. Multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube super chat on the page or the app. You can also use the hashtag TealTownUSA and always follow us on the social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube. With me tonight, it is another guy who spells his name the right way, with a K, Mr. Eric Landy.
Hey, guys. That power play life.
Isn't it wonderful? I guess it actually can do special things. And also joining us from the Great White North, he is the Angry Canadian Robot, Mr. Ian Reed.
Happy late weekend in November.
Yes. So to all of us, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving here down in the States, and to our fellow Canadians, we hope you had a great Thursday. As the San Jose Sharks began a set of back-to-backs tonight as they took on the Canucks, who have lost 6 in a row. And things, I thought the Sharks had some great up-tempo play early on, really were setting the tone. And then the Canucks started getting into some penalty trouble. And it started off early as Logan Couture gets a nice pass from Erik Karlsson and Kevin LeBanc on the power play at 10:54, a power play goal makes it 1-0. Couture's 8th, and Landy, I thought a great setup. I think a lot of them were expecting Erik Karlsson to be firing off the shots more, but Couture with his patented sweet wrister getting things going for Team Teal.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Couture against Edmonton get a goal and kind of come off the schneid a little bit. And it was good to see him follow it up. I think he's really starting to kind of patch a little bit of kindling there on fire. And hopefully this is a nice setup for, you know, that real slow burn, that slow, consistent burn that Logan normally has. So hopefully it's the start of something good. And keep the wristers coming.
Completely agree. And wrist shots must be always with Logan Couture. Unfortunately, he also seems to end up taking high six to his face in games, but we'll get back to that in a little bit.
Can we just have Logan play with a full face shield? I mean, like, just the whole thing, college. You know what? Just, he can protect his jaw, he can protect his eyes, he can protect his face. You know, I'm thinking whole cage.
That would be nice, just to play it safe.
Or just till the playoffs.
Yes. Antoine Roussel essentially had 2 penalties in that first period, really setting the tone for his usual douchebaggery. However, Derek Pouliot takes a high stick at 16:04 against Lukáš Radil. He makes his NHL debut and gets high stick and draws blood. Sharks go on the power play for 4 minutes, and then it's Timo time in the right spot at the right time as Jumbo passes it to the net. It goes off of Meyer. Meyer ends a 6-game drought. Ian, to make it 2-0 Sharks as they go into the dressing room from Thornton and Burns. What did you take from Timo and the first?
I mean, first period was really good. I mean, I think the whole game was pretty good for the Sharks. They pretty much dominated the whole thing, but it was good to see Timo get finally back on the board again after a little bit of a slump. And I can't believe it's like, what was six games? Like, I can't believe six games is a slump suddenly. But, you know, I think that we, you know, I don't think we expected Timo to just score every game. So these things are going to happen. But it was nice to see him get back on the score sheet again in short order, because I think if the longer it would have went on, and then I think, you know, some of the dumb questions would start getting asked. But, you know, Timo's been awesome this year, and it's good to see him be rewarded for it once again.
Landy, what did you take from the first?
I just felt like it was complete special teams domination. I mean, Logan came into the slot area just totally unopposed. Timo crashing the net. It was both execution on the Sharks' part, but Vancouver's net front presence and net front presence in front of their own net was just horrible. I mean, the Sharks had their way with it, and you wonder, you know, the whole game had a little bit of a physical aspect to it. So you're wondering, maybe it's because of the physical aspect, the Sharks feel like they can throw their weight around a little bit, get into the crease and really cause some havoc, or it's because they're playing a Vancouver team right now that's lacking a lot of confidence. They came into this riding that six-game losing streak. And really, I mean, this was just a kind of a clash of a team on the upswing and the Sharks and a team on the downswing in Vancouver. Now, you know, the Sharks historically have not done so well against those kind of teams. It's kind of been a trap game for them. And I'm glad that they really, you know, stomped on Vancouver's throats.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Ian.
I was gonna say, I think after that Edmonton game, I mean, they had to at the same time, right? Like, you can't have a trap game after that Edmonton showing.
Yeah, but, you know, then the excuses would have come out like, oh, you know, it was after Thanksgiving and, you know, the Sharks are going on the road, so they're going to sag. You know, we've seen this script before, and that's all I'm saying is that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, after that Edmonton game, thank God we didn't see that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was nice to see Dell get the opening nod tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he played pretty solid, steady goaltending. And we'll get into more of delicious netminding in a little bit. But moving on to the second period, no goals going into there. However, the Sharks did take three minors. And guys, and I'll start with you, Ian, first. There's a little bit of me when it's like you have a 2-0 lead. Things seem to be good. You start taking little calls here and there, like Brendan Dillon holding, you know, Elias Pettersson, which I can't blame him because the kid's so fast.
Yeah, Evander Kane, sometimes you have to take a dumb penalty.
Yeah, and like Evander Kane, who I think was defending Brendan Dillon after Roussel tried to cross-check his face. You know, that one I can understand. And then Lukáš Radil, congratulations. You made the score sheet by getting your first NHL penalty.
I think you want that from your teammate, but Brendan Dillon can protect himself. Come on. Dillon can handle his own business. Let Brendan Dillon handle his own business. I mean, it's fine. Either way, one of those idiots is taking a penalty, so it's fine. It's a wash, but Brendan Dillon can handle his business.
Yeah, I agree, but I think the other thing, though, that was a little interesting was just how we were kind of seeing the Sharks being pushed around a little bit, especially that Edmonton game. It looked like Edmonton was the more physical of the teams. So it was really nice to see Evander, use his natural asset, which is his size, and really, really throw his body around. I mean, he was really, really visible out there. And I felt like the defense corps was very stout tonight. You know, making Vancouver pay every time they entered into the Sharks' offensive zone. You were seeing some kind of body check. You saw LeBanc throw a huge body check. And poor Sam Gagne, man, he got racked up like three or four times.
Welcome back to the NHL, Sam Gagne. And poor Vancouver. They were off to a great start and they hit the skids. They've had so many injury issues. No Brock Besser, which is a key into that Vancouver offense, among others, that really just really has affected Vancouver's play this recently time.
And disappointing. You know, that was a guy that I really wanted to see the Sharks play against and see how their defense really stacked up against, you know, that super line of Besser and Pettersson and Golobin. You know, and
I thought we'd never say that super line
from Vancouver, right?
from just in an NHL line, honestly.
Right. I mean, but you know, Pettersson looked a little lost out there to me tonight. He got primarily matched up against Vlasic and Braun, and boy, their defensive game has really kind of stepped up. It's kind of slowly gone back up after I think the initial shock of taking Vlasic's teddy bear away in Justin Braun, you know. But they've really kind of come back to, you know, feeling each other out and knowing where each other is going to be, and stuffed Pettersson tonight, stuffed him.
They learned how to dominate them, especially him and, you know, all Horvat and Rocket's favorite Burton. But moving onward to the third, where the Sharks would break this thing wide open, Erik Karlsson, yes, with a K, and he spells it the right way. 3:43, the Sharks' third power play goal on the night. A nice shot, a beautiful setup from Joe Thornton, his second assist on the night.
Kevin LeBanc really set that whole play up.
Yeah.
And to have two of those guys that are essentially pass happy guys, this power play is starting to look better. And let's be honest here, Karlsson, he also gets an assist on, or Erik Karlsson, I should say, also gets an assist on Melker Karlsson's first milk delivery into the net at 9:35 to finish out the scoring from Erik Karlsson and Brendan Dillon. 8 points in the last five games for Erik Karlsson, Ian. Mm-hmm. I think he's starting to get a little more comfortable in San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to happen. I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, after the first season, I think it's one of these things where kind of if everything is going bad, and they won tonight, but, you know, what are they now, one game over 500? Like, it's easy to really look for things to really hammer on, and obviously things that are different are easy to hammer on, so it's like, oh, wow, Erik Karlsson's here, now we're a 500 hockey team. When, yeah, okay, he had a slow start, and he didn't have a great start, but, I mean, outside, I mean, in points, because I don't want to say he had a terrible start playing, because I thought he's been great, even without putting the points up. But now that the points are coming, I mean, if this is a sign of things to come, you know, hopefully this can turn the season around a little bit and get the Sharks more on the winning side of the ledger than hugging the 500 mark.
Yeah, and I mean, look, 23 games, 15 points. At that pace, he's going to be like a 60-point defenseman. Those don't grow on trees, you know? And then you've got Burns, who's over a point per game. So you've got, you know, 60 and, let's say, conservatively, like, another 65-point player. That's 125 points.
Right.
Yeah, 125 points from your back end. Do it on two players. You know, that's not going to – go ahead.
I was just saying, and look, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, these guys are going to giveth and they're going to taketh away because that's the style of their game. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I know we would like to see, you know, Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, you know, be plus 7 million trillion, but it's never going to happen because that's just the way they play. It's frustrating, but you take the points and, you know, you can grumble at the rest, but I would still rather the points.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. We could have Dylan DeMello plus 10. That, you know, plus 10 plus minus, huge important stat. Huge stat, guys. Can't even stress the importance of plus minus.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lindy.
No, I'm just going to say, I mean, people are, Dave B. Pilot, thanks for chiming in. He's saying Braun was a 37 Corsi 4 and 29 Fenwick 4. You know, Braun and Vlasic were a 43% Corsi 4. But, you know, while saying that, you also have to look at their deployment. Where exactly on the ice they were deployed. They don't get a lot of forward offensive deployments. That's not normally their bag. So, you know, you're going to be in the defensive zone taking those draws. You know, the Sharks haven't been so great on the faceoffs lately, which has been, you know, a big issue, which they kind of flipped the script tonight. But
boy, howdy, did they.
Yeah, but basically, you know, it's kind of tough going. But what I have seen from Vlasic and Braun are more consistent reads on the zone entries, the opposing team's zone entries is better reads, really eliminating the high danger chances a lot better than they were. And I almost felt like that pair especially was trying to compensate and trying to be more offensive than they actually are. And so they were kind of cheating a little bit. So tonight, for me, I'm not really looking at exactly the possession stats, but I'm looking at the elimination of the high danger chances. And if that's what that pair is meant to do, which is just shut the other team's top line down, that's fine. You have Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson on separate pairs. They're going to drive possession. Don't worry about it. That was
all right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go on a little bit more.
Oh, well, I mean, but also, you know, we can go into, you know, a nice segue is the goaltending. I mean,
yep.
You know, Aaron Dell had a shutout tonight, and maybe there was four or five high danger chances, which is way cut down from the, you know, dozen that they were giving up in the last, you know, two or three games, a dozen per game. I mean, Ian, what did you see from the defensive structure?
It's hard because it's Vancouver and their offense is with Besser out, their offense is a little bit easier to shut down. It's just, I don't know. I wouldn't use this game as a bellwether for anything. You know what I mean? Like I'm strongly on the, they need to put Vlasic and Karlsson back together train. Because I mean, they were just, I think they were, other than not getting points on the board, they were great together. Like the percentages were all there. And I don't really, you know, I think Aaron Doe was great, and I think that's a topic to get into later. But I, you know, as far as the defense goes, yeah, the defense has hung Martin Jones out to dry a little bit, but Martin Jones just hasn't been good this year. Period. Like an 8-9, whatever the hell it is over what is it now?
Yeah, it's 891 with a 3 goals against average
in how
over
many games?
16 games.
Right. So, like that's just not good. Like there's no way to slice it. You can only blame the defense so much. Like Martin Jones has to make saves. And he has to make some difficult saves that he just hasn't made. He's made a lot of, you know, simple saves, and even there he's kind of been scary, like, because he's really been, if you look at the analytic breakdown, I mean, he's really all zones, like high danger shots, low danger shots, medium danger shots. Like, he's been just bad across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, and not looking confident either.
In my opinion, like, it's really, really hard to, it's hard to grade the defense based on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Rob Iman chiming in, any concerns on Martin Jones's regression? I think it could be maybe injury related and or mental injury related. but, you know, I think he needs to take some time out and really dissect his game, you know, go through it with Hedberg and with Nabby, you know, sit down, take a look at the video, see exactly how he's not fronting pucks. He's shrugging his shoulders, going, creeping back and back further into the goal. And we see that with another goaltender who's really like that screams like, I'm not in a good headspace, is Henrik Lundqvist. When Henrik Lundqvist is on his game, he's fronting pucks. He's coming out way to the top of the blue paint, standing up, making himself look so much bigger than he actually is. And, you know, being aggressive to the puck, pushing players out of the way so he can get a sight line. Jones is not doing that. Jones is standing back. He's letting, you know, a lot of traffic build up in his crease. He's not clearing it himself. So, Ian, I totally agree with you. He's got to be better.
He's got to be better.
Yeah.
Like, you can make excuses for him. And I get it. I mean, look at, has the defense been great in front of him? No. But, you know, other goalies seem to have managed where Martin Jones is just getting killed.
Yeah. And Matt Dynan, thanks for chiming in. I haven't seen you in the chat before, but it's awesome that you're here. Yep. He's saying same thing happened with Holtby. How Holtby had that horrible, horrible start, and then really it took Grubauer to take his job to really get him, get his butt back in the gear. And I think we should have that conversation of, okay, if you really want to send a message across Martin Jones' bow, start Dell again tomorrow. And I know that the percentages say that that's not a good thing to do.
Right. Back, blah, blah, blah.
But you want to send a clear message to Jones and want him to find some consistency. Start Dell again tomorrow.
And that brings up a point that I was going to chime in here, guys. And I think Beach Boys fan forever was going to same thing, switch Dell and Jones and make Jones the backup and Dell the main guy. You're also going into a weird stretch for the Sharks that they're going to have a lot of back-to-backs coming up in their schedule. So I would think you're going to see a lot more of Aaron Dell, but I just can't see, you know, PDB going with freaking, you know, Dell for like two in a row, which I think he has done before, but
he's done it before. Here's the thing. You don't have to, like, I think this is like, there's too much emphasis on who Peter DeBoer comes out and says is his number one goalie. He doesn't have to come out and say, okay, Jones is no longer a number one. Like, we don't need that kind of controversy. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is he plays the goalie that, like, if I'm Peter DeBoer right now, the way I'm deciding my starting goalie is win and you're in. You win the game, you're in the next one. Lose the game, the next guy gets to start. And I think that kind of competition could get Jones going again. And that's what you would hope, right? You'd hope that kind of, you know, if Jones's, you know, starts aren't taken for granted. I'm not saying they are. I don't know Martin Jones personally. Who knows what the hell he thinks. But I'm just saying, if I'm the coach, I'm looking at the situation. I'm saying, look, this guy's given me two good starts, shutouts in both games.
Back-to-back shutouts,
yep. Even though he had, you know, split, obviously Martin Jones got back in the net. I would play Dell until he loses, and then I would put Jones in until he loses. And then whoever gets the lion's share of games gets the lion's share of games, because right now you're not getting what you need from Martin Jones. And if that changes and you start seeing, you know, even in a loss, you start seeing the Martin Jones that we're used to, fine. Then you can start starting Jones again. But we haven't seen that guy this year, in my opinion.
Well, so four paws up for hockey. I quickly just want to chime in on this thought that you brought in. Yep. Can I interject that Dell has had shutouts with teams that are not so great, but let's remember that he got shelled against St. Louis, and I thought it was really good of PDB to put him back in against St. Louis, just to show him that, hey, look, you know what? Like, I know you had a stinker, but I'm going to put you back in. And that game was just horrible all around. That first St. Louis game. Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
No, you totally read what I was about to read. So four paws up for hockey, and I just want to say, what would you take from that? But you guys answered that already. So near the end of the game, oh my goodness. You know, so at the end of the game, we heard that little tussle between Roussel and Vlasic, and I'm going to screen share this because Kevin Kurz had mentioned in a tweet 20 minutes ago that Vlasic says that Roussel bit him, show me a mark on his left hand. We have a tweet that just came out that shows the actual play of it, and we want to thank iBrads for this, and it's clearly right there, and let me blow this up. It looks like it was on the post-game live, and that's obvious right there that Roussel did bite him. I don't know what it is about Vancouver players and biting, but, you know, Roussel was running around like a – and I'm sorry, I you guys know I don't like to curse on this show, but he was running around like a fucking idiot tonight, and he almost tried to cross-check freaking Dell in the face.
Dell and then Evander Kane. Just really. I mean, look, I understand that he's a pest. I understand, like, that's kind of his game. But seriously, I mean, Brett, look, the book should be out on biting, okay? I mean, Brad Marchand has gotten into some serious, you know, flack caught some serious flack for the biting. You would think that that would be, you know, something that the refs are going to look at. He got a game misconduct in the last minute of the game. So, you know, he's already priming himself for some fineage there. And you know what? You throw this into there. Not a good look.
I would. Yeah. I mean, my kids are 8 and 5 and they don't bite each other when they fight. So why you'd expect it from grown adults? Well, I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, I mean, that's just absolute classless. And I remember the 2011 Cup final after Bros, you know, bit somebody. You saw the Bruins players kind of go up to like Maxime Lapierre and Bros and just like stick their fingers like right in his face, saying, "Come on, come on! Since you're such a dog, come on, why don't you try and bite me again."
There's going to be a fine there for sure. If not, there might even be a suspension because it's just a regular season game. It's
not the final. Right? I mean, that's just absolute horse manure in my mind.
It's garbage.
It's peewee. Not even
peewee. They wear the full face shield.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's Bush League.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's put a bow on this one. Shots on goal tonight, very low for both sides, especially for San Jose, 24-19 in favor of the Sharks. Faceoffs at one time after one period of play, the Sharks had an 84-16 domination in the faceoff circle. They finished with a 2-1 margin and their San Jose 3-for-6 on the power play. Vancouver went 0-for-3, obviously with Roussel being a dumbass. 24 PIMs for the Canucks, 8 for the Sharks. Hits were about even, and same with blocks. Sharks had 10 giveaways to the Canucks 4, though. But Joe Thornton with 2 assists. He now passes Mario Lemieux, 11th all-time in the NHL all-time assist list. Kevin LeBanc with a couple of helpers. Erik Karlsson with a goal and 2 assists. And like the guys mentioned before, Aaron Dell with a 19 save shutout. So to put a bow on it, guys, what are your final thoughts? And I'll start with Landy.
Just the final thoughts on the game. You know, the Sharks, very good on the special teams tonight. Kind of kept the pedal to the metal. There was a little bit of a sag in the second period, and we're starting to see that become a trend, which is a little, it's a little worrying. But that being said, they did start well, and they did finish in the third period well. So for me, tighten up that second period, and really I've noticed it's when they have to, it's their changes. Their line changes look bad in the second period. They're not taking shorter shifts when they should, because they have to make that extra, you know, they have to make that extra skate to the other side during the second period when they switch, especially at home. So, you know, for me, it's clean up that second period and keep those high danger chances low and, you know, keys for success.
Mr. Reed?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Sharks won a game that they should win. And I'm happy about it. I don't like some of the things that I'm still seeing happening, but I'm not going to go into a super rant fest after a 4-0 win, cause it just looks silly. But I thought Lucas Radil had a good debut. You know, Radil, a lot of guys are like, why is Perron not coming up? Why is Perron not coming up? Radil, it's funny though, cause they're calling him a young guy the whole time. He's 28. He's not exactly young. He's like the young Tim Heed, who's, you know, older than half the team. But no, I thought Radil played good. Because I thought the reason he was called up was because he'd be more flexible to be able to put in the lineup. Like, I don't think I like Francis Perron. I like what he's done for the Barracuda, but I don't feel like he would make a great bottom six player. And I think that's an important factor you have to keep in mind. It's not just about the points. You got to figure out what the fit is going to be when they come up to the big club. And I feel like for Radil, they called him up and he fit perfectly where they wanted him to go.
Yeah, physical player, making his presence known. I thought he played well and, hope to see him more. But you know, we'll see how it goes. Peter DeBoer is always an enigma when it comes to his lineups.
Right. Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't want to rant too much because it's like a four, it's a 4-0 win. So I'm just gonna I'm gonna leave that alone for now, and I'm sure I'll get an opportunity later.
Felix asking Puck Guy, what the hell is on your cam right now?
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, really? It's time for a Barracuda update. Uh-oh. That's right. Literally at the same, literally at the same time as the Sharks were playing, the Barracuda played, and unfortunately, they were down 3-1 to the Colorado Eagles tonight in Colorado. Ty Lewis, Andrew Agostino, and Jean-Christophe Baudin had the 3 goals for Colorado, while Alexander True had his third of the season in the first. However, the Barracuda do make a comeback. Manuel Wiederer and that other guy that we got in the Chris Cheney, Dylan DeMello trade, Francis Perron, his 9th of the season. They San Jose Barracuda get it to overtime at 3-3. However, Scott, oh boy, Kosmachuk gets his 6th in overtime at 3:30. The Barracuda go on to lose in overtime 4-3 over the Colorado Eagles. Mr. Reed, got anything to add about the Cuda?
I kind of had one eye on it, but I was mostly watching the Sharks game, I'm not going to lie. The Barracuda, you know, obviously with call-ups and a couple of injuries, they've come down to earth a little bit. All in all, I mean, there's still a lot to like. I like the fact that they came back and enforced overtime after the first period. It looked like they were just out of it after the first period. Like, I wasn't expecting much from the rest of the game. And you know, so I give them credit for the fighting back. Unfortunately, they couldn't finish the job in overtime. But there's a lot I really like about this team right now. So, I mean, hopefully they will do a better job. I don't know if they play tomorrow or not as well, which will be really angry. Make me really angry.
You yeah. get angry? That would never happen.
Yeah, it seems like this team is much more along the lines of parts that have been kind of cast off or parts that were, you know, drafted really low. That's what this particular team has the feel of, and they're doing quite well. You know, they're doing quite well for the pieces that they have, and exactly what you were saying, Ian, with the call-ups and the injuries.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the little engine that could right now.
I mean, Charche, I thought Charche looked good. I mean, obviously, I think if I was Charche, I'd be a little miffed that I'm skating with the Barracuda again, but I think it's good to get him back on the ice. I'm glad that Gambrell's getting some ice time again, because I think, like, you know, Gambrell got off to that hot start and then just rotted in the press box for too long, and now it's just trying to find his game again a little bit, I think. But all in all, I mean, I really like a lot of the pieces here, a lot of the Sharks prospects, especially like the prospects too. It's the youngest team in the league, and it just got probably even younger tonight considering Gridiel came up. So youngest team in the league, I like what I'm seeing from it.
Completely agree with that. So the Cuda do play tomorrow again in Colorado at 6 p.m. You can listen to our good friend Nick Nullenberger on the Sharks app or on AM 1220 KDOW at 6 p.m. That's Cuda versus the Colorado Eagles. So, guys, is it time?
It's time.
It's time.
This is why I come on the show.
That's right. It is time for the NHL wraparound. That's right. Wraparound, people, because there's never any reaching around on the ice during a hockey game.
Yes, there is.
Where? When they are there more wraparounds or reach arounds during a hockey game?
Maybe both.
Hey, you don't know what goes on in the locker room in the intermissions, okay? Wow.
That only happens when somebody scores 4 goals, all right?
Oh right.
Yeah, but.
Roosters and all kinds of barnyard animals, I guess. Oh, my goodness.
Four pods for hockey before we get into the wrap around. Any way of watching? Yes, AHL TV has been a godsend. I think it's freaking $59.99 to watch all the Barracuda games has been awesome.
Yeah, I have the whole package, but I mean, just to watch the Barracuda games, like, in hindsight, if I would have known my work schedule was going to change the way that I probably would have done that instead. But yeah, I mean, just you can have the option to just watch Barracuda games and just subscribe to just the Barracuda games. It's not a bad deal considering what the price used to be.
Yes, amazing. Big time, like $8 a game, absolutely. And for that matter, if you're a local, you know, I just got rid of it, but if you're local, get out there. The next game is Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. So it's a school day for it. So that'll be a cool one. I might actually go to that one since it's an 11 a.m. start. That'd be fun. Breakfast with the CUDA and 15,000 screaming kids or something like that. So check that out. More information at sjbarracuda.com. But now it's time to go on for the NHL wrap around. Earlier today, so. Yeah, I know I'm fighting a losing battle, it seems like, but whatever. I will persevere. In Philadelphia,
just keep reaching around
until I touch someone. Is that what we're going for, Landy? Jeez, after dark coming up apparently. Anywho,
we're doing after dark now.
Yeah, great. In Philadelphia, the Flyers shut out the Rangers, who, you know, they were supposed to be going through a rebuild and like they're tied for second in the Metro. But they get shut out 4-0 to the Philadelphia Flyers, former Leaf, Calvin Picard with the shutout, Konechny with a goal, his sixth, Couturier with two goals on the afternoon as the Flyers go to 10-10-2. The Rangers are at 12-9-2. In Quackenheim, the Ducks give Ken Hitchcock his first loss as Oilers head coach, although it was in overtime. Ducks win 2-1. Ricard Raquel, 14 seconds into overtime with the overtime winner as Matt Koskinen loses the game for the Oilers. Nugent Hopkins, the only goal for the Oil, while John Gibson keeps somehow the Ducks alive in this tight Pacific Division race. That's, as I said on the pregame report, tighter than an opening at Target last night. In Minnesota, Patrick Laine gets his 14th of the season, but that wasn't enough as the Wild win 4-2. Over the Winnipeg Jets in the Battle of INN, so I'm supposedly conflicted here. Nico Niederreiter with his third, former Shark Eric Fair his fourth, Eric Staal, who spells his name the wrong way, his ninth, and Zach Parise, did he change it back to Parise, his 10th, to complete a four-goal third period as the Wild go up to 30 points on the campaign.
The Wild have to be like the big surprise this season, right? Because I didn't see this coming from the Wild at all. I thought the Wild would be hanging out with Chicago at the bottom.
I think for me, New York, the Rangers have been the biggest surprise.
Yeah, I'll give you that too. But the Both. Wild are in the Central. Like, the Central's such a meat grinder.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that's kind of been interesting to see is just how lackluster Winnipeg has been. They have 26 points, but, you know, I was thinking, you know, this is a team that should be fighting for the division with Nashville.
That's a tough division, though.
It is.
It's a tough division. When you have the majority of your games in the division, I mean, that's a tough slog in the Central.
Oh, you know, I did forget, though. Montreal is also a pretty big surprise, too.
Yep. Montreal would be another big surprise.
Oh, and great. The one that we're missing completely, Buffalo.
I don't know if that's a surprise though to me. Like, not to completely like derail the whole segment here, but but like Buffalo, like at some point, like, this is a team that had to turn the corner. You know, they have Jack Eichel. They have some good players. Their defense is still a little eh. You know, I think that
with Rasmus Dahlin and Ristolainen.
Yeah, but okay. So name the other four.
They don't need another four.
No, they can just trot exactly my point.
They don't. You can just trot them out for 30 minutes apiece.
Like, it's still, it's, yeah. I mean, it's a little top heavy. I think I like what I've seen from Rasmus Dahlin so far. I think Ristolainen's okay. I don't think he's like, I don't know. I'm not a huge Ristolainen guy. But I don't know. I feel like with the players they have, and finally moving on from crazy goalie Robin Lehner. I feel like that was like they should have success. Like, this is a team that should have success. The Oilers are supposed to have success at this point, although they've managed to destroy their roster. But I'm going to stop because I'm totally derailing this thing.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm reading some of the comments in the chat while you're reading in. Laurel, I can't believe you actually said that in the chat. Wow. I'll make these guys look for it while I mention, you guys mentioned Montreal and Buffalo. They played each other today, and the Buffalo Sabres win it all overtime.
There you go.
As Jeff Skinner scores two goals, including the game tying goal and the game winning goal. He's on 17 goals on the season. Casey Mittelstadt, his fourth. Brendan Gallagher scores his 11th. Andrew Shaw, a power play goal. And it's not enough, as Alex Martinez's favorite goaltender, Antti Niemi, takes the loss in this one. And Carter Hutton, former Shark prospect, is coming on strong for the Sabres as they win 3-2. Having the Sabres going to 32 points on the campaign, the Canadiens at 27.
And listen to this. In their last 9 games, the Sabres are, wait for it, 9-1, riding an 8-game winning streak. Boy, howdy have they arrived.
Yeah. And you know those Toronto-Buffalo games are going to be crazy.
No, my first round pick is better. No, mine is.
And then Connor McDavid says, hold my apple cider. It's legal ages 19 up in Canada. Never mind. My bad. Apologies to all Canadians everywhere.
Can we take a minute, though, to quickly talk about Edmonton and just how much of a wreck that team is, and just how much of a waste of good air Peter Chiarelli is. I mean, the guy has able to screw up the unscrewable. Like, you give him the, you know, the greatest player of his generation, and you find some way to screw that crap up. Wow. I mean, I Peter Chiarelli is just a dumb person. I was gonna
dummy save head
it for after dark.
Yeah, but I mean Daryl Cates must be an idiot to be sold the carton of rotten apples he was sold by Peter Chiarelli. I mean, he goes out and he gets Lucic. He trades Taylor Hall. Oh my goodness, maybe we have a depth problem at wing now. Who would have thought? That franchise is, they're reaping what they're sowing right now. Because they, you know what, it's just, I feel bad for the fans, but honestly, Daryl Cates is a jack butt. And you know what, he's reaping what he's sowing.
Oh, I can't wait to show this. Thank you for the tweet in the chat. We'll move on. Islanders beat the Devils 4-3 in overtime. Matthew Barzal with the game-winning goal, only his third on the season. Former Sharks goaltender Thomas Bryce with another victory as he beats Keith Kincaid and the Devils. Taylor Hall, by the way, as the guys were mentioning, part of one of the idiotic deals Chiarelli made. He gets his 7th on the season, along with Brian Boyle and Marcus Johansson. In D.C., the Capitals beat the Red Wings 3-1. Athanasiou, not happy to see he only scored the only goal of the game for the Red Wings. I know, I almost said season, right? Tom Wilson, his third of the season, along with Kepney and Ovechkin, get the goals as Holtby gets the victory. The Sharks' next opponent, the Vegas Golden Knights, shut out the Flames 2-0. Took, who's been on a little bit of a run, gets his sixth and eventually the game-winning goal. Colin Miller gets his first on the power play, and Marc-Andre Fleury with the shutout. That is the Sharks' next opponent tomorrow around 7 p.m., I believe, is game time in Sin City. In Columbus, the Blue Jackets beat up the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 for their first victory over the Leafs in Columbus in franchise history. Josh Anderson with two goals. Cam Atkinson, his 14th. Mikko Hänikainen. I got that right, Ian, right?
I don't know. Whenever I can't do a name, I just go, hey, Russell, and I just stop.
Page and Kevin Lacy. Kevin Lacy,
yeah, please appear. Kevin Lacy will help you out. I'll just say, hey, Kevin! Don't call me European Gerber.
Wait, I'm sorry. It's December. It's almost December, so Kevin! There you go. If you don't know what that is, check out Home Alone. He got his second of the season to finish it off. Hainsey and Kapanen were the lone goal scorers for the Leafs. Leafs comeback ceremony to Austin Matthews. Bruins beat the Penguins 2-1 in the battle of the black and gold teams. Jamie DeBrusk, his 9th. Nordstrom, his 4th. He gets his game-winning goal in overtime. Evgeny Malkin gets his 9th of the season. The Bruins are now at 28 points, and the Penguins are at 21 on the campaign at 8-8-5. In Tampa, the Lightning beat the Blackhawks 4-2. The Lightning score 4 goals in the first period. Tyler Johnson with 2. Braden Point, his 15th. And Ryan Callahan, his 3rd. Taves, the only goal scorer for the Blackhawks on the evening. Now I get to the tweet that I saw in the chat earlier. Hurricanes beat the Panthers 4-1. Martinook with a hat trick. Teravainen in his 5th. But let's put that all aside because, as we know, the Carolina Hurricanes have been having so much fun with their victories at home. They went full on domino effect
in their celebration today. I love it.
Including Stormy, their mascot. That is.
I wonder how Brian Burke is going to feel about that one. On that's
so great.
They went to shouldn't be part of the game. I'm an angry Connecticut person.
Ian, question for you.
Ian, you're muted. Ian?
I'm muted. I'm sorry.
Has Don Cherry said anything about the Hurricane winning celebrations yet?
They're headed up by Pinkos.
I'm sure he has. I try to ignore Don Cherry at all possible, unless I'm doing terrible impressions of him when I can't pronounce a name.
He's no Bobby.
I know. I guess Brian Burke was angry about it today. I've heard Matthew Barnaby on NHL radio be angry about it. You know what? It's so dumb. Like, it's just, don't have fun. Wear your suits. Show up. Keep your head down. Don't be a distraction to your team. Don't have fun. It's just hockey. It's serious business. You know, the usual.
Shut up.
Hey, you know what? Like, if their teams were doing as well as Carolina did, like, I think that they would be okay with it. You know, if Brian Burke was heading up Calgary and Calgary was doing that, you know he wouldn't say a thing.
Of course he would. He wouldn't let it happen. He'd make sure that they all know of this Lou Lamoriello. He'd make sure they all shaved and...
Fuck. Or wouldn't Brian Burke just tell him, don't even tie your tie, guys. Just hang it around your neck and you'll be fine.
Like, it's just, it's so dumb. They're just dumb. It makes me angry.
You know what else makes me angry? I'm just thinking about this. Peter Chiarelli also traded Tyler Seguin and Phil Kessel. Yeah. Just thoughts.
And Taylor Hall.
He traded both of those, the first rounders. That's interesting. Wow.
First and second round pick.
Yeah. Gotta love that Peter Chiarelli, man. I don't know what Daryl Cates was thinking, but he was like, I want me some of that mismanagement.
There you go.
Stanley Cup. That's all he saw.
And I would used to say mismanagement for these teams, but these teams seem to be starting to turn it around. The Avalanche beat the Arizona Coyotes 5-1 tonight. The winner, of course, for best jerseys for both of these teams, actually getting some nice, sweet designs back again. Avalanche with
comfort. Is that the Peyote jerseys?
Yeah, they wore their Kachina jerseys tonight. And I like how the Avalanche went back to an original style, but they kind of modernized it a little bit. JT Compher with 2 goals. Mikko Rantanen, his 9th. Tyson Berry, his 3rd. Landeskog, his 14th. Dylan Strom, the lone goal scorer for the Dogs. In St. Louis, the Blues beat the Predators 6-2. Yes, Jake Allen with the victory there for all the Blues Twitter Nation who are on Jake Allen's side. They're in good shape. Nick Bonino and Ryan Hartman, the lone goal scorers for Nashville. Barbashev, O'Reilly, Shen, Sanford, Fabry, and Petrangelo all with goals.
Okay, wait a minute. Are the Jake Allen people like our version of Martin Jones people at this point?
I think
just,
so.
Just a question.
I think they started it like that.
So. Okay. I just had to ask that question. I don't know the St.
Louis asking for a friend.
Good enough. Asking for a friend. Are they the same? Are St. Louis's Jake Allen people our version of the Martin Jones people right now?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And in Dallas, this one is a final. The Stars beat up on the Ottawa Senators, like pretty much everyone, including Uber drivers, 6-4. The Stars get Jamie Benn, Mikko Heiskanen with 2 goals. Former Shark Taylor Fadun with his 1st of the year. Blake Homo and Bayreuther with his goals for Dallas as they go to 26 points on the campaign. Ryan Dzingel, Brady Tkachuk, LaJoy, and Smith for the Sens. That gets you updated on the 15 games that took place tonight in the NHL. For those who are already looking at standings as we have passed the quarter pole and the Thanksgiving mark, which are always marks that people look at to see where their team are at.
Stop watching till the playoffs. It's all set.
Yeah. The Sharks leapfrog the Flames by a point at 28, Calgary at 27, Anaheim at 25. Vegas is quietly climbing up. They are at 11-12-1 and are at 23 points. They are on the outside looking in for a wild card spot as well. So that gets you updated throughout everything. So we have a game tomorrow in Vegas. Ian, what do you expect from Vegas as they're starting to slowly get back into things?
Getting Nate Schmidt back was a huge boon for them. Their defense has kind of been in disarray without him. Vegas is a team that I don't think they're as bad as they have been to start the season. I think they should give the Sharks a little more of a test than they had today. I'm hoping that the Sharks show up to play tomorrow and they show up with Aaron Dell in net.
Right. And Landy, what to look forward to, your final thoughts and where the people can find you?
Final thoughts is, let's eject Peter Chiarelli into the sun.
You know how many teams Peter Chiarelli is after dark?
Yeah. on a serious note though, I'd love to see Dell get the back-to-back. It really, I think it would send a clear shot against Jones's bow. Really want to continue the great special teams play tonight. Rolling those lines. It had a lot of really, you know, really good looks on the net too. There were a lot of shots that could have gone in as well. So, just good overall game and continue it. And let's pick up that sag in the second period. As far as where you can find me, you can always use my first name, Eric, spelt with a K. Last name, Landy. That's L-A-N-D-I, not Y. And on all the social medias, because I just use my name.
All right. And Ian, I'll throw it back to you because I've meant to say it. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
You can find me at Ian Blogs Hockey on the Twitter machine. My Twitter handle is a total lie because I have no time to do anything. But I, at one point, I did write stuff about hockey, so it was true. You can also find me on Teal Tinted Glasses, which should return next weekend where the Sharks don't play both frickin' nights I'm off. Yeah, other than that, I'm around. You can find me on Twitter randomly griping about Peter DeBoer. And if you want all work, right, griping about Peter DeBoer.
Let's just after dark. Yeah, maybe NHL should just get rid of all the Peters.
Yeah, maybe.
Thoughts?
All right. Well, in case you missed anything or you want to catch this again, this is always available at TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, where it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course, smash our YouTube channel. And make sure you hit that bell to make sure you get notified that when we go on the air live or we drop something a little special, kind of like the Drew Remenda interview that AJ had earlier this week or recent edition of the Pucknologist. So check us out at Teal Town USA, wherever you can find podcasts. Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. We'll be back with you tomorrow night following Sharks and Golden Knights from Sin City. That will be on at 7 o'clock. And also the Barracuda will be on at 6, taking on Colorado. So, with that, we'll leave you. We will see. Apparently, we might go after dark, folks. I think we have a request for it. AJ in the chat, loving how I go way in stealth mode. I've been doing this the whole time. I've been doing stealth modes. So, definitely take your phone away from you, young man. Why? I don't know what you're talking about. There you go. And with that, we will leave for you till tomorrow. Keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a wonderful night and enjoy your Black Friday shopping.